This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, and Alec Medford. We are going to scout the Eagles. I also want to, you know, maybe we can help people out. You can do it in the Twitch and the YouTube if you want, but other people might respond. If you just need to celebrate or vent politically, you can feel free to text us at 877-881-1053, and you won't have all the other texters seeing what you wrote. You can just like, hey, I need to get this off my chest. Either you're super sad, you're super happy, maybe you're totally indifferent and you just want to talk sports. Let's do that. If you can go ahead and play cut number one, because this guy changing teams feels like it has been huge this season.
Hurts with time. Now looking end zone for Barkley. Got it! Touchdown! And there it is! The first points in the first quarter this year for Philadelphia.
So good for Philadelphia for finally scoring any points in the first quarter. But I feel like I know there's more to the Eagles than Saquon Barkley, but I look at him and not just because of the reverse jump, which was amazing, but because of what he can do in the receiving game, because of what he has done in the rushing game. I look immediately at Saquon Barkley and think, how is that matchup going to work? Poorly.
120 yards and two touchdowns. That's just rushing.
Oh my God.
So that's how I would say. Yeah. Okay. I mean, because once the Cowboys, once they make the decision to say, you know what, it's time for me to really just buckle down and try and stop this run, then you got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And Jalen Hurts' protection right now is really nice. So once that happens, yeah, it just turns the whole game is which one do you want? Which one do you want to try and stop? And the Cowboys have been had a very difficult time trying to stop either one of those so far. So it's not going to, I don't think it's going to look nice at all by any means.
Are you going to tag on any more scores receiving or can we just leave it at those two?
98 yards for Devontae Smith and a touchdown.
Oh, I just meant for Saquon.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Yeah.
Oh.
125 yards for A.J. Brown. And that's on like two catches. But Saquon Barkley, I think, you know what? We'll just go 6 receptions for 68 yards.
Okay. So
yeah, man. Like, listen.
Sounds like it's been a long day.
Linebacker injuries could pop up in this game. This is going to be a very difficult game defensively for a coordinator who's looking to make his impression on the team that he once was working with.
Micah's back.
I hope so.
That's what Jerry said.
Well, that's true. Every now and again, though, Mike, you know, sometimes Jerry says things and they're not totally accurate. So,
what's your point?
We'll see.
Have some faith, Corey. The Cowboys are playing at home. Before this season started, the Cowboys were good at AT&T Stadium.
What's their record this year at home?
Don't worry about that. It's really, really, really bad.
This year doesn't matter.
How many Eagles fans do you think have purchased tickets from Cowboys season ticket holders?
A concerning amount.
I hope a lot. Like, if you're a Cowboys fan.
Why do you hope a lot?
Because you have to pay that PSL thing that puts you back seven figures.
Not just to buy a single game ticket.
You hope they're making their money back.
Yeah, this is like for Cowboy fans, dude, make your money back.
Yeah.
Like, let's face it. You pay way too much money to go to those games. make a time and a half or two times the amount of your money. Sell the tickets the rest of this year so you can get some of your money back for hopefully a better season next year.
Interesting. All right.
I do think it's interesting, though, like what the decision of Kellen Moore is going to be. Does he come in here and he's like, I'm just going to air it out against this team? Because he does know the team pretty well.
Sure.
Whether or not he knows Mike Zimmer's defense is different, but is he going to say, I'm going to take advantage of what I've seen they're poor at, and that is stopping the run, and I'm going to set up everything else from there? Or is he going to say, I wanted to go in and try and air it out? I don't think that's the best option to start. I think the best option to attack this Cowboys defense is say, we're going to attack you at the running game, and then whenever you've decided to make the, hey, we're putting six on the line, that's when you go ahead and say, now it's time to strike downfield.
From the 469, I think 120 rushing yards is being generous. I fear it might be closer to 180. From the 512, the Eagles are going to win by at least 35 points. My goodness. And from the 314, he's going to run wild. 143.5 yards is the over-under. Here's my concern about the Eagles. Besides the fact that at this point you're concerned to play all teams if you're the Cowboys. Since they hit the bye. So Philadelphia has been a totally different team since they rolled into the bye at 2-2. Since then, they've won four straight games. And you've seen improvement across the board. But that defense has been terrifying in the last 4 weeks. The Eagles, since week six, since they had their bye, got back into it, rank first in the NFL in total defense and passing defense.
All right.
And rushing defense.
What are you getting at?
And
here?
Defensive points allowed.
What are you trying to say?
And most sacks.
Right.
So my point is they don't just lead in total defense. They lead in both subcategories of yardage for total defense. They lead in the subcategory of how many points did you actually give up? And they're the best at getting to the quarterback. You just face the worst at getting to the quarterback. And it feels like Dak was being harassed for most of the time he was in there. Now you're going to face the best at getting to the quarterback.
I guess that's the
now we're going to be good.
The disheartening.
Heck yeah, man. This is getting close to the meat, I think.
That's the disheartening part of all of that, too.
Yes.
Terrence Steele didn't have a bad game. Your all-pro guards did.
Yeah.
And so this is that, like, I put in my notes on Sunday. It seems like every time you make progress, there's something that kills it. And it's not just like every time in a series. It's every down.
Yeah.
Something happens in every down. And so if you think that Cooper Rush can calm that noise, because maybe Dak just was feeling too much pressure from everything else. Maybe all the new life changes that he's going through have just affected him so much.
Know.
That he couldn't calm all the noise. Maybe Cooper Rush can really calm all of that down. But it's just like, okay, now my receiver ran the wrong route. Now my running back didn't pick up this blitz. Now my other receiver wasn't even lined up correctly. Those are the things offensively that have been a problem. Terrence Steele was good. And then the pressure with all those stunts, everything was coming back around, and it was catching Cooper Beebe off guard a little bit. So I don't know what's going to fail them on any given down to say that I trust. Because as Mark Schlereth had said, find the thing that you're really good at. The Cowboys don't know what they're really good at right now.
Penalties. Not lining up correctly.
But we're not good at positive things then, right?
They're positive for the other team. Positive for the refs. They get to do something. The refs are looking for something wrong, and they're like, man, the Cowboys do so many things wrong that it gives us a job to do.
I guess that
just is. Just think if you're a ref and the team was just kept lining up correctly and didn't hold and didn't false start, and, you know, like, gosh, like, what do? You just watch the game as a ref?
Somebody asked, by the way, a nonpartisan question. Is the political show of record, what was the turnout? Because they want to know if nobody else cared, just like they didn't care. All right, I don't know how many people we've added to the country in the last 4 years, but it looks like there's going to be about 23 more million votes cast this election than last election.
How did that happen?
And last election had a huge uptick in voter participation. So it feels like there will be some uptick.
So more of the country cares, is what you're saying?
I guess.
Than ever before?
Yeah, I guess. I guess that is probably accurate.
Kevin from the 512. Guys, don't worry. We have Jonathan Mingo now. I'm dead serious about this.
And Mingo was his name.
Though. As I was driving home, Chiafalo threw out the, hey, look, he's really good at curls and slants. Like, that's what that's what he's best at.
And
that's
who are
what
curls he's best for?
At. Guys with big biceps?
The girls.
Oh, all right. You're right. Curls are for the girls. So he's really good at the routes that Mike McCarthy likes to call the most. These are the things that he's really good at. So that should be easy for him to get involved in this offense immediately. So we should see him and Cooper Rush immediately start to click.
Slants are for the ants.
That might take away from like CD's
aunt.
Numbers.
I have an aunt Susan.
Aunt I promise Becky. I was listening to your legitimate points, Corey. Alec, just real quick, help me out. It's 10-11. Just tell me I'm going to make it through this show. We're not even done with the first segment. Just tell me I'm going to make it.
Alec, say it.
I think you need to take a load off, Kevin.
A little early.
It's never too early.
By the way, I hope you weren't watching the fan cam. I might have definitely mouthed out. You might need to put a blur over my mouth. That I might have just-
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mouthed out something inappropriate.
Question 24.
Okay, no. We have more to talk about with the Eagles. You'll have your time.
Well, have the Eagles made trades?
they actually sat mostly pat.
Okay, well, question 24 is, when you take a load off and relaxes, what's the best trade you've made in your lifetime? See how you just, like, now you just Lamar start Jackson. Thinking and laughing and relaxing?
Yeah, I got Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, look,
he's
just,
that's the best
completely.
Trade he's ever made, and it was this year.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Corey.
It was awesome.
All right, by the way, I've already had multiple people congratulate me and say sorry to me for the election last night, so.
Good for that.
Okay, thanks, and. It's okay. I don't totally know.
It's what all going to be okay.
What the appropriate response is. All right.
Guess what? We're all back at work today. Look at that.
Except for Sean.
Yeah,
oh,
Sean,
except for Sean.
Sean
yeah,
quit.
Crap. Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you more potentially concerning statistics about the Eagles? If your answer is no, we might go to break early because most of the statistical matchups don't look great.
What's the next segment?
Hold on, Kevin. I really appreciate whatever that question was, but I was reading something from JMIT23 on the Twitter. Hold on, Kevin. You got to hear this.
Let's enjoy today.
Kevin, you got to blame yourself for today. You didn't bring coloring pages. So, like, that is on you, bro.
I lost.
You know how to keep us.
I didn't color the states correctly.
Alec, you know how to keep us focused.
Could you reprint the coloring map and then we'll give them an opportunity
like
to color
that.
It?
I'm out,
as
I'm out on the coloring map
it's
now.
It's over.
Yeah, I need something new.
Give me a map of Italy.
Yeah, give me. Yeah. What's the? Is there another world election happening?
Give Mike a map of Italy.
Yeah,
that'll help.
He'll just draw in little
That's
spaghetti.
That's a great idea.
I think you vote in Italy.
I don't know. I've never been to Italy, but I assume. That is the case.
I think it's a democracy.
From the 903.
What was your question again?
I think they have mafia there, though.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was really important.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles, they're better than the Cowboys.
Yes.
There's the stat.
Do you want to know why that is, offensively or defensively?
Yeah.
Let's go offensively.
I'm excited.
Saquon.
He's going to cuss today.
It is the first freaking segment, man.
Don't worry. We got Skip Shoemaker talk at 10-4.
I am excited about that.
That's actually the thing I'm most excited about.
Okay, let's talk about A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Now, I know there is some concern about the knee issue, and we will see how that plays out as the week goes along for the Eagles. But A.J. Brown ranks third in the NFL in receiving yards per game, and then Devontae Smith has had 75 plus receiving yards in 5 games this season, including the last 2 games. He looked a lot better. So if you're just curious about the run game, the pass game is ready to go as well. And we've talked about this a lot in the last week and a half or so. Jalen Hurts has done worlds better at not turning the ball over.
Yeah, and I'm going to make an admission. I thought DeVonta Smith would be a very good receiver in the NFL. I also thought he would get pushed around a little bit. He doesn't.
Yeah.
And the more I watch him, the more I'm just like, dude, he plays three times bigger than he is. He'll go up and get the football. Long arms, the ability to do that. He makes catches that I'm like, that's what a Jefferson should do. And he makes those types of catches too. So just as much, I mean, even when it's just him out on the field, he's that much of a threat on whoever your best cornerback is. And at the moment, I don't really have a cornerback that I trust on him or anybody else on the field.
And that's where...
That stinks because we felt like when we signed... Whenever Diggs was signed to that big contract, you're like, that's a lockdown thing for a while.
No, and then Deron Bland, we were all super pumped about going into the season. Maybe he's back. We've talked about the optimism for Bland and for Micah. He hasn't played this year. Like, my expectations might be too high if you think he's going to come in and just be like, yep, we're good to go. We're going to take away at least one of those wide receivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully, but that feels like a really high bar.
And then the other thing, too, is when you really get, drill into it a little more, the only reason you got to see Deron Bland was because Diggs was out last year.
Yes.
Otherwise, if Diggs wasn't out last year, you don't get to see that. And he's a nickel corner. He maybe even doesn't even play that much. Although they wanted to put him on the outside. A lot of people were pushing for that. But, man, what a world we're in right now with the secondary and defensive front we have.
From the 406, in all seriousness, you guys are great. I like the tone you always take, and I'm always in a good mood listening to you. Boom!
Boom. Heck yeah.
Glad we can help.
There's anything I can do today, it's going to be to help you take a load off and relax.
It's all we need.
And get excited about the winter meetings and the Texas Rangers.
I am excited about those things.
The winter meetings might be the greatest time to listen to this show ever.
You could hang out with us. I'm not lying about this.
Yeah.
Maybe at the winter meeting.
Yeah. I'm dead serious about this.
And it might be 75 at the winter meetings.
Yeah.
What a faux pas. That's what you guys said yesterday.
That is not how that word. Never mind.
I don't know what he meant.
We're the Kansas.
I think it's anticlimactic because you're talking about the climate.
That makes more sense now that you explain it.
Climate change. And you're at the winter meetings because it's not the summer meetings.
Kevin, I need to ask you a question in the break, so let's go ahead.
Hey, you should go to break. We're about a minute and 40 seconds.
Whose fault is that, Mike?
Yours.
We're the can't see match.
Five more seconds you wasted.
He's going to cuss.
We're the KNC Masterpiece. Shut the hell up. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Stars' biggest concern a month into the season. Plus, more from Finland, which I know I'm going to regret with this moron over here. On The Fan.
Harley on the left wing side for Haskinen. Shot. Stop. Scored on the rebound by Duchesne. The Stars quickly strike back-to-back.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are going to talk about the Stars here. However, I got this text. From the 972, I'm counting the minutes until Kevin totally loses it. I actually canceled an appointment so I could specifically tolo your show today. All right.
Yes.
I am very glad to everyone who's listening just to hear me potentially break is not as much my favorite, but I did want to talk about the Dallas Stars.
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
I have a lot of jokes that I wanted to shoot off real quick, but okay. I'm going to hold off because you want to talk serious stuff. So,
yeah.
Okay, good. Now, the biggest concern for the Stars about a month into the season, I know it's a staggered start to the season, so it's not exactly a month, but about a month into the season, and I'm going to throw this out there. Doesn't mean it's like going to be really bad the rest of the season or anything like that, but right now, Wyatt Johnston's lack of scoring.
Mm.
Okay? So the Stars are off to a good start. Jake Oettinger is off to a really good start. By the way, in fact, Jake Oettinger's odds over the last month to win the Vezina for best goalie have dropped from 11-1 to 5-1. And so that's good. That's third best.
Oh, sorry. I just looked at something and that's okay. Bad.
So that's third best in the NHL. So you feel like you got a good start from Ottinger. That's moving in the right direction. All right. What is it that you saw that led you to the I don't like that face?
Oh, Wyatt Johnston's last five games. I see goals and I see zeros in all five of them.
Yes.
And then I see assists and I see one. And that was in the November 2nd game.
Yes.
And therefore he has 1 point in the last five games. And for this team to be at its best, he's got to be at his best. Now, Kevin, the last few years now, we've seen Wyatt Johnston has just kind of continued to rock it, you know?
Yes.
And are we seeing a little bit of a plateau for him? Maybe he's hitting that, you know, that I've gotten to the age of 21 and I'm gonna be here for a little while. Or maybe it's just part of the season, you know, and then he'll ramp it back up. We don't know exactly what he goes through when he goes through down periods, because we haven't seen that.
I actually, that's a good point mentally. I think we can explain some of the downturn.
And he also isn't living with Pavelski anymore. So I'm serious.
I did not
think
about that.
The mental part of that, he always had somebody to go have dinner, you know, go eat dinner at home and have a conversation with.
So you just brought up something that I think is really interesting. The Pavelski thing for sure. But right before that, it's kind of all relative because the Stars are still doing well, but this is supposed to be the year, not to say that it won't be, but this is supposed to be the year that Wyatt Johnston takes that next step into superstardom. Like, we've talked about this quite a bit, Mike, at the Dallas Card Show. Hockey is not always the big player, but there's been a time where you've definitely seen a spike up in Stars cards, specifically Wyatt Johnston cards, because the anticipation was this will be the season that he takes that next step. Early on, it doesn't look like that is the case. But on the flip side, Logan Stankoven has kind of taken that spot and moved to the top line. And do you just want to say old Stanky or something like that, I'm guessing?
Is Duchesne on the same line?
We're not doing this, Mike. I see the direction that this is going, and I want to stay away from that. So while maybe Wyatt Johnston has underperformed, then you can argue that Stankoven has overperformed. But outside of just the points, you look at Wyatt Johnston, he has the worst possession numbers on the team, and you're going to need that to get better. Like, very likely you're going to need that to get better throughout the season. Not that you want to sacrifice the production of Stankoven.
You said a word, though, that I don't know if you said it, and it's kind of a, I'm just throwing it out there. It's okay. He's not there yet. He's not a superstar.
True.
And most of the people that I trust in the hockey world have said they don't believe he is and will be. It's going to be like an effort. He's a Dallas star.
Yeah.
Like, he's a star for us. He's, you know, one of your top line
stars.
He's one of your top line players. And that's where my wonder of is, has he hit that ceiling for himself? You know, like, where you've seen this and that's just too much to ask him to do that all the time over the last couple of years. And because he's not going to be an Ovechkin. He's not going to be a McDavid type of guy. But he's going to be a very good quality player.
Yeah.
What the Stars do so well, and that's be a good team. Like, they're a good team together, but all the parts have to be functioning.
And they have been a good team thus far. That is, again, reflected on, I told you that Ottinger had improved his odds to win best goalie. The Stars have also improved their odds. And this is really ironic to me. The Stars were behind the Florida Panthers, and that is now flipped in the betting odds, where the Stars are now ahead of the Florida Panthers, which is somewhat confusing given the actual outcomes of the games in Finland. Now, speaking of Finland, if you can go ahead and give me cut number four, it was a big deal for this player in particular.
Duchesne, left circle over to Lindell, and save Bobrovsky. Back for Lindell, he scores! Esa Lindell here in Finland!
So one of the really cool things that I thought the NHL did was they had Esa Lindell on the Global Series blog because, you know, obviously he's Finnish and
he's done.
No,
I know.
Okay. Not that it wasn't important to everybody, but it seemed like it was really important to him. And I want to just read you a couple things from that blog because I thought they were really touching. He said, Today, the Finnish national anthem was one of those moments. The crowd singing while the violin played, with all of us Finnish players standing on the ice before opening faceoff. It was beautiful. It was a really proud moment. And then he expressed disappointment about the loss, but you don't have too much time to like totally comprehend all of that process, because, yeah. Yes, process, thank you. After the game, we had a visit from the president and the prime minister in the locker room. That was really cool. This is my favorite part. I'd never met either one of them before, so this was a first. After we won the world championship with Finland in 2022 in this building, the president came to visit us, but it was a different president. So I like that he's like, oh, I'd met the old president. I'm glad that I got to meet the new president and the prime minister. And I can just imagine, I know Stars fans are disappointed and they'll get back on the ice tomorrow after, you know, several days off to deal with the travel back. But you can tell how special a time this was for some of these Stars players.
Yeah, and you don't get anything like that unless you're in national play, right? Like that, you don't get those types of experiences. And you got to do it with your teammates who aren't on those teams with you whenever you're in an international type of play.
That is true.
And so that is a really cool experience, but I think kind of getting back into the rhythm is probably what DeBoer's most excited about. He's like, look, that was a great experience for us, something we can lean on. Maybe we did some team building while we did it along the way, and maybe we have something that we can grow in the future, but I like getting back to what our typical structure is.
From the 561, Pavelski was my favorite Star. I'm sad he's gone, but his playoff performance, or lack thereof, showed me his time was up.
He knew. I mean, he knew. Otherwise, he'd be playing for somebody else.
Yes.
But he was like, my time in this game is done.
I would agree with that. Do we have just a minute to talk about one other thing, if you guys don't mind? Please.
Just do it.
Okay.
Stop asking us. You know we're going to screw around. I don't get that. I don't get why you ask us something
you
know there's a good chance I'm going to just screw around and mess your head up.
That is a fair point. Thank you very much for that, Mike.
Hey, Mike, thanks for keeping us in line.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate that.
Just do it. Nike, man.
A Michael Jordan, actually, yeah, kind of,
oh, I didn't
believe
even know.
It or not, that actually does sync up pretty well. A Michael Jordan jersey from the 96-97 season, which I believe was the fifth of their championships, sold over the weekend at Sotheby's for $4.68 million. Michael Jordan wore this jersey in at least 17 games, including the game where then-rookie Allen Iverson crossed Jordan over.
Oh, really?
Yes, and so
as a carry.
Okay.
No, I'm just thinking.
Well, definitely not in today's NBA.
No, he could have held it for three more seconds.
It is the fourth highest jersey, the fourth highest price ever paid for an NBA jersey. It is behind Wilt Chamberlain's jersey that he wore during the LA Lakers' first NBA title run. And then second was Kobe Bryant's jersey that he wore during his lone MVP season of 07 and 08. And then those all pale in comparison to $10.1 million, if you remember going a little ways back, is what somebody paid for the Jordan jersey that was from the last season. The last dance season. I know he came back and everything, but from his last season with the Bulls. But yeah, $4.68 million for a jersey, and it's only fourth on the list of most expensive NBA jerseys.
Is that the kind of jersey you want, Mike?
That's an interesting question. I guess if I could only have one basketball jersey, a memorable Michael Jordan jersey makes the most sense.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But for me personally, if I could have the jersey, let's say where Dirk made the and one against the Spurs when Ginobili fouled him.
That means something to you.
Yeah. Or if you could have the game six jersey of Dirk winning the championship in 11. Right. So I get Jordan. He's the greatest, arguably. But to me, Dirk will be my favorite athlete of all time. And I don't think there's any way possible at almost 47 years old that anybody could ever take that, because he's the same age as I am. So from approximately age 19 to 40, I got to watch every bit of it. And as you get older, nothing against players now, I see them more as young adults or kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's
also, whenever you're young, you're more emotionally attached and impressionable. And when
that
you get old, you get
so
jaded. And
nothing
business
against like
and
Evan Carter. On like Evan Carter feels more like a son to me. Not that I'm his father, but like you just see athletes different when you get to be in your 40s or close to 50 years old than you do when you are a teenager or a child and you're seeing these guys play.
The KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
I can't believe the Rangers got the hottest manager on the market. Next.
KNC masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, in this segment, we will have a Cowboys-Eagles ticket giveaway, and we will have a Cowboys-Eagles ticket giveaway in the noon hour as well. But right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bashek.
So I thought Corey and Alec were a group text, and I see it as I'm driving to Bishop Lynch to pick up my kid. So it's around 5 o'clock, maybe a little bit before 5 o'clock.
Were you just leaving Twin Peaks or something when you did that?
Oh, man. Baseball Nuggets brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, and scenic views. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I wasn't. I didn't have time.
Because you had kid stuff to do. I got you.
To pick up kids and stuff like that. And so I'm like, why are they talking about Skip Shoemaker? Like, he's the number one manager on the market. Like, everybody knows the dude managed in 23 the Miami Marlins his first year, and then got him to the playoffs, and he was manager of the year. And then they fired his general manager. And I'm sorry, I'm forgetting already, and Gavin Spittle just came in and gave me her name. But they fired...
Is it Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he now is like, wait, what just happened? The general manager you hired got a team that has one of the five lowest payrolls in baseball to the playoffs. She hired me to manage the team, and you're getting rid of her? And now you're telling me the new general manager, in a way, I'm kind of not saying what Skip Schumacher said, but probably what he's thinking and the reason he left the Marlins is like, and you're now getting rid of the players that help us got there, and you want me to manage a different way, and you want to change the whole style and philosophy and go through a rebuilding process where we just built something that won 84 games in the playoffs. And so Skip leaves the Miami Marlins. I've been watching this podcast. I tweeted it out. Sorry, I haven't tweeted it out. I sent it out to like Jared Sandler and stuff, and I am not done watching it. It's an over hour interview with Skip Shoemaker. Now, he's been hired as now a front office guy to Chris Young. So I want to make this clear. Okay. He's not hired as the manager of the Rangers. Bruce Bochy's still the manager of the Rangers. I was hoping when I saw this that Skip was taking over Will Venable's job and would be right next to Bochy. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have two unbelievable managers. I guarantee you, knowing Chris Young, he is working his tail off. He has a budget. He's working his tail off. And for him, for his first job ever, to go out and get Bruce Bochy would be like going out and getting, let's say, Bill Belichick or Andy Reid and saying, here's the deal. We're not winning. If you're a football fan and you don't know who I'm talking about, I can relate it to football. Hey, we're not winning. We're coming up short year after year. In fact, we're coming up way short year after year.
Yeah.
And I need you to change the culture, the leadership, the management of this team. I need it to change. And we interview Colby Lewis. Derek Holland was with us. We interview him the first day. Everybody's there for the Texas Rangers in 2023. And Colby Lewis is like, I've never wanted to play baseball again after retiring, but I do after that speech.
And wow.
I'm not saying that speech was the reason they won. They went 40-20. And
but how many people told us that speech was unbelievable?
And so a lot of people did. Derek Holland was lucky enough to play for Bruce Bochy in San Francisco. And so you get that culture change. You get now winning, and now you get a different attitude. Now, they didn't have a great year this year. The Rangers fell way short of expectations. Chris Young came on the station and said, I am embarrassed as the now president, I guess.
Yes.
I am not happy with the way our guys played. I'm disappointed with the way that they played. I think we should be embarrassed as an organization that we won the championship and only won. At the time, they hadn't finished the season, but didn't finish above 500. Didn't make the playoffs to try to defend the title. He was very clear with how disappointed he was with this season. And I didn't know what changes were going to be made. And we know that Bochy's going to stay, and we know that Maddox is going to stay and stuff like that. I would have never guessed in a million years you would have got the hottest manager on the market. The best way I can do this for you, Cowboy fans that aren't baseball fans. he went out and hired Andy Reid / Bill Belichick. You immediately win the championship, the Super Bowl of baseball, the World Series. Then you have a little bit of a disappointing year. And then with the blessing of Bruce Bochy / Andy Reid / Bill Belichick, he goes, what if I go out and get Sean McVay? He's willing to come into the front office and help us out and learn underneath you even more. And we do know you're at an age where, hey, you might manage a year. You might manage three more years. I don't know if Skip's going to stick around if it's three more years of Bruce Bochy. And I'm happy that Bruce Bochy's here. Don't get me wrong here. But
yes,
what an amazing job. You are hiring the best. There's no salary cap in football for coaches. There's no salary cap in baseball for coaches or front office people. And I feel like Chris Young is trying his best, and people could be upset that I'm throwing this out. Don't get this as my opinion, but people are upset. I'll give you the floor here, Kevin, that maybe Kip Fagg is still here, that he hasn't done the best job for his
I am one of those people.
As
yes.
as a major scout.
I will admit that.
The guy who kind of runs the draft, that you've been disappointed with where they've gone with draft picks and how they've been developed and all yes. kinds of things like that. That's fair. I'm not arguing that. And he's kept him, and he believes in Kip Fagg. Chris Young, as far as I know, really believes in Kip Fagg and the job that he has done and is going to do. You can disagree with that, and I'm not going to argue that. But for him to go out and get Bruce Bochy, and then to go get Mike Maddox, and I know that's Bruce Bochy doing it too, and then to go get Skip Schumaker, the hottest manager on the market,
okay,
to be part of your organization, this is freaking amazing.
So I'm hoping you can help some people out here, because I've already seen this. This is the minority. But I've already seen some people say, why was his team so bad last year? So I'm hoping that you can walk, because there were 62-100 last year.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping you can walk people through why that was.
All right. One, Eury Pérez. This dude is a Cy Young candidate. He's 19 years old in 2023. It was like, oh my gosh. I don't have his numbers pulled up.
Yeah,
but it was spectacular. But he got hurt. So they lost their up-and-coming phenom.
Yep.
They don't have money, so they don't have players that are considered all-star caliber year-in and year-out players. They did have one, but he doesn't fit analytics to some people, and that's Luis Arraez.
Yes.
And so they get a new general manager, and one of the guys that he could count on at the top of the lineup, getting on base, playing the game the way that Skip likes, maybe having a guy at the top of the lineup play the game, they immediately get rid of. And they start getting rid of other pieces. So Skip was talking about in this podcast on, like, you have to have a core of players. So when new players join the team or young players come up, there's this core of guys where you have this set in. Everybody knows the clubhouse somewhat pecking order. I'm paraphrasing what Skip said in this podcast with Eric Hosmer and stuff. When you start taking all that out, I get rid of Luis Arraez. I get rid of other veteran guys. I have a new general manager who sees the game totally different after we were successful. He's doing the best he can with what he has, if that makes sense. Because they went on a total rebuild after making the playoffs. Like, well, let's totally rebuild it again. The owner was like, and let's do it with a totally different general manager. And the general manager, the lady who was unbelievable at it, was like, now, wait a second. I've done some things after Jeter. Derek Jeter was kind of part owner, not majority owner, but I've done some things now. We are now a competitive team. We're now over 500. We snuck into the playoffs. What are we doing here? I have the manager of the year. We're not going to add to the team. I get it, because nobody wants to go watch baseball in Miami, which is a weird deal because you have a whole bunch of people who like baseball. They just don't go to the baseball games. So we have a limited budget, but you're going to strip that away from me and we're going to have to start all over again? And so that's where you have a 62-100 season, and you're in a very competitive division in the National League East with the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets. The Nationals are now an up-and-coming team that have more money than you.
I just wanted to set that in case people were
curious.
Yeah, so
I'm not – hey, Skip might not be the best manager in the world when he gets his job again, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be at least five teams. I really believe this. As this 25 season progresses and teams disappoint and teams are thinking about going in different leadership directions, I believe one of the first calls they're going to make is to Skip Schumaker's agent, and I believe it's Scott Boras, and say, we want to interview him. We believe he could be our next manager and lead us into the promised land. And I'm just hoping that the Rangers are able to somehow keep him because I cannot believe they got him. This was, I get it. I'd rather have Juan Soto. You make me choose between Juan Soto and Skip Shoemaker. Corbin Burns barely, and Skip Shoemaker in the free agent market. I want Corbin Burns. Okay. But for the manager of the 2023 manager of the year in his first year ever to manage a young guy who most people, I don't know everybody, but most people in baseball think this is one of the next guys. When you talk about, hey, who are the guys that are unbelievable or going to be unbelievable at managing? Skip was part of the conversation last year, and a lot of people just felt bad what Miami did to him and knew. I was there in late May with the Rangers. So many positive things said about him. By that point in late May, everybody knew Skip's not staying here.
Yeah.
They've screwed him over enough that he's not staying here after this season's over. But it didn't mean he wasn't trying to do a great job. He just had to deal with what he had to deal with. And then he's like, all right, I'm done with the Marlins. And then he talked about on the podcast, I don't want to go to a situation where me and the general manager aren't on the same page. He's like, I've just seen it too many times in baseball. And I think he was even talking about other sports. If the general manager and the manager or the head coach are not on the same page and they are on different paths and they see the game different and they cannot see the game in the same way and they want different players and the coach wants different players and they can't mix. It's like it doesn't work. It always ends up bad for both people. And so he's like, I want to find that great marriage again. That he had with his general manager in 2023 with the Marlins, where they saw how to build a team, how to build culture, how to build talent, how to run a minor league system. They saw it the same. And then that was ripped away from him.
Yeah.
So my thinking is Skip Shoemaker and Chris Young see things similar. Bruce Bochy and Skip Shoemaker see things similar. And so all you're doing is acquiring as much talent as you can with the budget that you have. And so Chris Young went out and got Bruce freaking Bochy and you win the world championship. And then after a tough year, he goes, I have an availability. Can I go get the hottest young manager in the market? But I don't have the managerial job open. And he got it done. That's running an organization.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, and I feel like it's about that time.
Let's give something away!
877-881-1053, caller number 10.
You can do it momentarily or now.
We'll win a pair of party passes to see the Cowboys play the Eagles this Sunday at AT&T Stadium. Those tickets are courtesy of Miller Lite. Caller number 10 right now, 877-881-1053. And coming up next, Gridiron Gravy. Let's power rank those quarterbacks next on The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.